We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Praise the Lord. It's time to take time for Jesus. Glad to know that today is the day of salvation, for tomorrow may be too late. And we're looking unto the time of the refreshing, the time of the Lord's return for his people, and the time that he will set everything right and bring back the peace and tranquility that Adam and Eve had before the fall in the garden. He will restore all things and bring it to be, and I'm glad to report that he's still in control of all things, and he will make the final decision. I don't know the day or the hour that the Lord will appear, but a lot of people have got a question in their mind that the devil has put into it because of his deceiving Adam and Eve. It made people doubt that God is capable of doing what he said he can do. But my friend, today we got to look to the Lord. The devil will lie to you and then laugh at you when you spend eternity in hell. So don't listen to his lies about the things that was contrary to God's word. That's why I encourage you to read your Bible and study it, and to let the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, lead and direct you into all truth, and he will bring you to the place to wherein you will believe what the Scripture says and not be led astray by every wind of doctrine or by the lies that the enemy has sowed in the world for a long, long time, for the beginning. We know that these things that God has set in order will be fulfilled, and he is not one that will lie to you. He said that all men are born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and that he will judge and make a ruling on the just and the unjust. The just will inherit eternal life, and the unjust will inherit eternal damnation. So it's your decision, though. It's not that he's going to make you do anything, but his word would be that it would be his pleasure to save your soul from hell, because it's not his will that any should perish. But he wants you to understand that sin is not going to be integrated into his kingdom. It's going to be the righteous is the only one that's going to be there. And so we got to make up our mind. It's your decision like it is mine. I can't do it for you, nor you can't do it for me. But God came into this world as a man. He was the Father in creation, the Son in redemption, and the Holy Ghost in regeneration. So now there's all this is all boiled down to one Lord, one faith, and one baptism that we're baptized into one body, not three separate ones or even two separate ones, but one. So we got to realize that the Scripture holds truth. We can't change it and make it work in our own way, that what we want is going to have to become God's way, because he is the one that died for you and I. He's the one that brought forth the plan of salvation. And he's the one that said, let every man work out his own salvation in fear and in trembling before God. So my friend, it's up to you and I. Again, let me tell you to study your word. Get your Bible and study it and read it. Find it out for yourself and believe what it says, because it's going to be the one that we're judged out of by what is written in the prophecy from the time the world began up until the time that the Lord comes. Now, the Lord will come in the clouds in the air and receive his people and his bride, in other words. And then in order for them to come back with him, as it did in Revelations, he got to first go up there with him, and they'll be there with him. And some says 1,000-year reign. But you got to realize that 1,000 years with the Lord is but a day, and a day is but 1,000 years. So we will be changed into the same likeness as the Lord is. So 1,000 years wouldn't mean anything to more than a day, or a day wouldn't be to more than 1,000 years in the spirit. But realize this, God is sovereign and he has to answer to nobody. But we're going to have to answer to him someday, whether we're right or wrong. We're still going to have to stand before him and give an account for everything that we've done in this life, whether it be good or bad. But the thing of it is that I think that when we have repented godly sorrow for our sins and asked him to save us from our sins, and that he has done so and filled us with his spirit, then them that are prepared to go when he comes in the clouds, they will be raptured out, as the scripture says, or caught up, and they will be with him. But my friends, we're going to have to realize that we're going to have to repent. And just being slipshod into it and saying, yeah, I love the Lord, and that's good and well, I hope you do. But you still got to repent, as so that many people have. Now, I've been taught all of my life that God was love, and I thought my God was such a loving God, then I loved him for that. But I had not repented until I come to repentance. Then I knowed how the grace of God worked and how much his love meant to me and how much I needed to love him, because he is the only one that can save my soul from hell, or that he can be the one that can judge me and put me in hell for duration. So let me just encourage you to read your Bible. Let me impress on to you, read your Bible, and know that God is God all over the world, and there's nothing that is going to change these things and make anything any difference. God is righteous, and he will, in his way, bring forth his righteousness, and he will bring it to the place of wherein that we will be righteous in his sight. But my friend, the time has come that we got to make the decision. We got to go with him, and we got to understand and believe what the scripture says. So it's important, very important, that we don't believe the lies that's going around and believe what the scripture says. But we need to realize that Joel said that in the days that was to come, and we know that how that he explained this, and that the time of Joel, there was a great shaking going on, and locusts involved the world. So we not only got to look at these things as the way that things are going to be, but we like to look at the way that they are going to be when the day of the Lord. When Jesus comes in the clouds of glory to receive his bride, then there would be no restraint on the devil's workers here on earth. While we're still here, the church, in other words, Christian people, is still here on earth. The Holy Ghost of God is still here working, trying to influence people to turn from sin and iniquities unto the sovereignty of God and for righteousness. The devil cannot have a free hand to do as he will. But when that's gone, as the scripture says, when he that will let it be taken out of the way. In other words, when the Christian people, the church, if you will, be taken into the clouds of glory with the Lord, raptured out, if you want to call it that, or the catching away of the bride, we're going to realize that Satan is going to be no longer restrained, because he'll have nothing to influence the people at that time. Now, I know a lot of people says that all of them that's left behind is going to have to do this and do that. But I want you to understand that Matthew 24:19, he says there when he says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, then shall they see the signs of the coming of the Son of Man in the clouds of glory. Now, we're going to suffer some tribulations, and we're going to be maybe even thrown in jail. Maybe some of us in this, as it has been in the past, suffered persecution and even death. Maybe. But there's a possibility. But let me tell you something other. After that tribulation period with the saints and everything, the Bible says in Revelation makes mention about the old Antichrist, a man of sin is going to arise, and he will make war with the saints and overcome them for 42 months. So this tells me that we may suffer some before the return of the Lord in the clouds of glory. But after that, when the bride of Christ has been took into the glory world, wherein that the Lord said he would go on to prepare for us, and we are with him, then the devil will have no restraint on him, and he will do all kinds of things, and he's going to bring forth death and destruction as you had never seen. But the Lord's going to return, and when he comes back with his saints, as Revelation says, on a white charging horse with his saints following him, the chosen and the faithful, then he was going to come to judge the world. He will then put his foot on Mount Olive, and it will spread away from north to south and make a great valley. My friends, this time that it's coming, that it's going to be a war such as never been, and God's going to destroy all of the devil's gang and him, and he's going to take all of the false prophets, all of them that don't believe in him, all of them that have been deceived by the devil and believed his lies at this and that, and seeking after the wealth of this world and all of these things, laying up treasures for the last days against in the world, seeking after the lust of the flesh and the pleasures of life, as the Bible says, that they are become lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. All these things are going to be resolved, my friend. And they're going to be judged according to God's word, and that all of the unrighteousness, even though he may be asleep in the dust of the earth, is going to be raised as the saints of God will be raised in the first resurrection. And they will go to be with the Lord, and them that remain to be alive will be changed. From the grave will turn loose, and there be no corruption, but they'll come forth. The saints of God. Them that remain to be alive will be changed from mortal to immortality, and we shall meet the Lord in the air together. There we will be with the Lord. But now, those that are left behind is the terrorists. And God's going to judge, and he's going to bind them up, as he said, that they would be brought forth. Even death, hell, and the grave will give up the dead. And them that lames is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world is going to be cast into the lake of fire with the devil and all of his false prophets and all them that love not God. All them that the devil has deceived with his liars and said, this is the way God made me and I'm okay and all these things, but they have not repented, but they're living in sin as though they have been, or that they are. But God came to save us from our sins, not in our sins, my friend. You cannot sin and get by with God. He knows who is and who ain't, who belongs to him and who does not belong to it. Now, these things with the seal of God is going to be, God knows whose he is. Them that the Antichrist or the devil is going to bring up to seal them. Now, a lot of people have been had a lot of descriptions about this, different opinions and everything like that. Now, I don't know if anybody actually knows just how this is going to be at this point, but it could be revealed very soon because things are winding up. Things are happening over the land. When Jesus told the apostles in Matthew 24, he said there would be roars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in diverse places, and all these things, and they're happening. Look about us and see it, all of the nations against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms, and the wars that's been going on for all these many years. There was wars that went on back in the time that the Lord walked on the earth, even when the times of they had this things happening back then. So there's been many of wars that's been fought, and nobody has come to the finality of being ruler of the world as yet. But the ruler of this world, as the Bible says, that the enemy, he's got the world by the nose, you might say, and lead them down a broad road of destruction, because they have fell into his lies and his traps and believe that pleasure is more important, riches is more important, and they want to, whatever they need to do to get the riches or to have the pleasure, they are led to do so, whether it's take another's life or he's going to have his rights and he disregards other people's rights and everything. We've dismissed God from the presence of the school. And when I was a boy going to school, we had a prayer, the Lord's Prayer in the morning, pledged allegiance to the flag and these things, and was people respected one another. But these days they pushed God and the prayers out of school, and a lot of them out of our government offices. They've made decisions to not have the Ten Commandments in government offices and everything. Well, these things, by pushing God out, has brought tribulations upon us in such a way that the devil moved in. If you get out and you take something other out of the place of the equations there, as the Lord spoke about there, when the devil comes and finds that the house is swept and garnished, he goes and brings seven more worse than he. And that person is found seven times worse off than he was. So when we push God out of our life completely, as so many people have done, then it just lies room for the devil to come in and disrupt and kill and steal and destroy everything that that we can possibly accumulate. And he's doing so. People have come to the place to where they're killing people, and they're routing in the streets, and they're coming here and there, and one thing or another, the young people are brought up that this is my rights and nobody else has any. As long as I get mine, that's all of that. Stand your ground thing, and people killing one another, and they just push God out. Well, the devil's taken over, and he's out as a roaring lion seeking that he may devour, and he's devouring a lot in these last days. But I want you to know that after Joel had told us about the day of the Lord comes, and it's going to come a disastrous time, my friend. It's going to be dark and gloomy. The sun refused to shine, as the scripture teaches us. We can't go into every one that we can find that relates to that. But I want you to know that we need to look into the scriptures. Let me just give you some examples. Isaiah speaks about it, and so we need to look into the scriptures and find out whereby that we can go into the places and read for ourselves. You don't have to take my word for it, but if you are a God-fearing person, believe what the Bible says, then you read the scriptures that pertaining to it. Search them out. Find them. And there's more. The Bible says that where there's two or three witnesses of the same thing, let it be established. And I find a lot of places about the day of the Lord cometh where there's going to be destruction. Many times that destruction has happened over the time that we, even in my day, and possibly in yours too. But since the world began, there's been destruction all over us, all around us. But the day that when the Lord takes his people out from all of this here confusion and the sins of this world and leaves the world out to the devil, there's going to be some chaos that's going on, but then he's going to come back with his saints, and he's going to destroy the very evils, even to cast Satan, Lucifer, into hell with all of the false prophets and all that sins. So where would we rather be? Would we rather be in the presence of God, with coming back with him to fight against the evils of the world? Or are we going to be in the world with evils and be cast into hell. My friend, it's up to you. It's up to me. Would you choose to serve him, or whether you choose to ignore him and neglect him? The decision is yours. The Bible speaks about that they're in the valley of decisions. Many is going to decide to go with the world. Many is going to decide to go with the Lord. But Jesus said that way that to eternal life was a straight way and a narrow gate. But the way that leads to destruction is a broad way and wide is the gate. You see, hell was built, or made rather, for the devil and his fallen angels. But there's many people that desires to go there by believing his lies, till hell has enlarged itself in order to accommodate. We find that a lot of places, they got a few people there, but they didn't want to build bigger people, to hold more people, and they ain't even got that fooled yet. But hell enlarges according to what it needs to be to receive them that would come. But we can build a building with so many square feet in it, and we've got it set up to where it could hold 500 or 600 people, and first thing you know, we get 200 in there, and they want to build it to be bigger to where it'll hold 1,000 or more, and they ain't even got it fooled yet. So I don't see the purpose of that, but nevertheless, hell has enlarged itself to accommodate them that wants to go. But let me tell you this, God has prepared a place for them that love him and his appearance. And he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. That means to me, or tells me, that there's room for all that whosoever desires. Jesus said on the last day of the feast before he was crucified, he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink of the waters freely. Any man. He sent them out into the highways and the byways to abid them that were there, because them that were already been abided to come, or invited to come to the wedding supper, they refused to come because he had so many other things to do and everything. So one had married him a new wife. One had bought him some oxen he hadn't proved. Another had some land and all that. Well, that's typical of the way that the world is today. They're too busy to give honor to God because one thing or another, the lust of the flesh and all these here things that are going on in the world today, that God is not pleased with people. Now, he don't mind you doing things that's right and to have a little bit of comfort in this world. That's not what he's all about. But when you're going to neglect him, and many of the churches, or what you would call churches, congregations today, has negated, they've just put aside the worship and services on Sunday, and some of them has already been said, I will never go back to church on Sunday evening. So they go for a couple of hours on Wednesday, and 2 or 3 hours maybe on Sunday morning. And many of them neglect God the rest of the time. So what are we going to do? Are we going to be faithful to God, or are we just going to be a slipshod any old way and any old thing do? I've had people to tell me that they were going to go to heaven where they wanted to or not. I don't think that's going to happen, but nevertheless, a man can be fooled by the devil into most anything if you'll listen to him. But listen to the word of God and believe what it says. Read it for yourself and look to it, and know that God is God, and he's not going to tolerate sin, and it's no wise going to enter into his kingdom. If we begin to realize that God is going to be the final judge on these matters, and by reading the scriptures, then we're going to know that he is wanting to save us from hell's, the devil, the place wherein the devil has went there. So it's up to you, my friend. God is love, and he loved humanity. He loved it so much that he came and died for it. God himself, a spirit, spoke his word, which became flesh in the womb of a little Jew girl, after the lineage of David, and he came into this world as a man, He was God in creation, so he created the flesh of which he dwelt in, which was the Son of God. He came to be where he could do sacrifice for the sins of the world. He became flesh. Could not hang him on the cross, him being a spirit. But when he came and dwelt in the flesh, he made that sacrifice for you and I. He brought forth salvation by the giving of his life and the shedding of his blood. So that makes him that when he comes again to receive his own, he's going to be the righteous judge. And them that are prepared and repented of their sins and a godly sorrow for there, and we let him come into our lives, then we are going to be able to meet him with peace. Otherwise, you're going to meet him with sorrow. Scripturally speaking, that all the rich will howl and run and throw their wealth into the caves with the bats and cry for the rocks and mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne. My friend, it's come to the time that we're living in these days. They say that they're going to have a peace agreement sometime in April with the Palestinians and the Jewish nation, but the Bible says that they will cry out peace and safety. There be sudden destruction. So it looks like that we're living now close to the time of the Lord's return. So where are you going to stand? Are you going to be standing in the place that we're in? He's going to say, like he did to Noah, when the ark was finished, the door was open, and he told Noah, he didn't say, go into the ark, Noah. He said, Noah, come into the ark. Oh, so when he comes, he's going, when John was there in the Isle of Patmos there, and he heard a voice stand behind him, some people got the idea that's when the church was raptured out, but don't be fooled by that, my friend. Because John was there on the Isle of Patmos to testify, to give the churches of Asia the warning from God of what he was displeased with, and only one that he found favorable with, and that was the church there with brotherly love, the Philadelphian church. But he had a little bit there that he had to say to them, you got to continue, not be deceived, in other words. You let your pride or something like that. Don't go to the ball game when you should be gathering together in the assembling there, not forsaking the assembling together. In other words, be right in the sight of God as near as humanly possible you can, but you just by yourself can't do it. Neither can I. But that's why he came back. That's why he told the apostles, he said, when he went, he said, it's expediently that I go away. For if I not go away, the comforter will not come. You see, God in the flesh, he couldn't be with all everybody at the same time in the same way. But when he came back in the spirit on the day of Pentecost as the Holy Ghost and indwelt in our hearts as Christ in us, the hope of glory, he can be with us wherever because all things are possible with God. And God is a spirit, and them that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We cannot go slipshod in any old direction we want to go that the flesh wants to lead us in and then please God and be able to go with him when he comes. So, my friend, it's time that we take time out of our life for Jesus. Most of it. We need to give to God what is God's and then to the devil what's the devil. And whatever the world is belongs to the devil, let him have it. But serve the Lord. Serve him with the gladness of your heart, with worship and praise and thanksgiving, giving him the honor and the glory. Don't be fooled by every wind of doctrine. There's people that run all over the world looking for this and looking for that, but I'm looking for Jesus to return. I want you to be with him when he returns. I want you to be pleasing to him. That's why I'm trying to tell you, don't be fooled by this here way that the world is going today and these things that have come along and all of these different ideas of the thing. Joel speaks about the coming day of the Lord, and it would be dark and gloomy. And these things are all there. And all during the time that we can read these things and look unto them and find them in the scriptures there, whereby that if we would just take time to read in Joel 2 and 31 and Acts 2 and 30, and we look there in Isaiah 13 and 9, and we run them all together, and as I said a moment ago, that where it's two or three witnesses, let it be established, and that's two or three witnesses there of the same thing. And so it's established. God is not going to lie to you, but the devil will. He's lied to the world from the beginning. He lied to Eve, and then she gave to Adam, and it put us all in sin. And so therefore, after that, we was born in sin, because we was born of a woman. And after the man's seed, so we was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And down through the years and in the law that God gave Moses to give to the children of Israel, and they broke them all, and so have we. So we need to find out just what God would have us to do. He said that we need to obey him. Disobedience is what got us into trouble to start with. So when Adam disobeyed the one thing that God gave him to do, not to eat of the tree of knowledge, it made him there that he knowed what right or wrong. And immediately they found out they were naked and decided they're trying to figure out some way to cover their nakedness. Well, God had to slay animals to give them skins to cover them nakedness in. So ever since then, we've been trying to find out something that covers our nakedness before God. But honey, let me tell you, there's nothing in this world that can cover your sins except the blood of Jesus Christ. Because without the shedding of blood, there was no remission. But the animals that were sacrificed during the days of old, it could not save us. The law couldn't save us because they broke it all. But the blood of Jesus is the only thing that paid the atoning price for you and I. As Peter made mention about, he said that we were not bought with silver and gold or the corruptible things of this world, but by the precious blood of Jesus. So it's going to take the blood of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, of Jesus Christ, to bring forth their salvation to you and I. It's the only thing. When the children of Israel was in Egypt's bondage, and he told them to put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel of their dwelling, go into the house and remain there, because the death angel came, and where there was blood on the doorpost and the lintel, he passed by. But then where there was no blood to cover this people, the firstborn, no matter how old he was or how young he was or whatever it was, the firstborn died. My friend, where are you going to be? If the blood of Jesus has not uncovered your sins and you're not cleansed from the unrighteousness that we were born in by the blood of the Lamb, we're going to be down and out. We're not going to enter into his kingdom. Oh, but let me tell you, my friend, there is hope as long as there's life in your body. All you got to do is to repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and ask him to forgive you of your sins, and then walk in the newness of life, as the scripture says. You can't serve two. You can't serve the world and the Lord too. You're going to despise one and hate the other, or love one. And you just can't do with two people. You can't serve the devil and God too. It just don't work. They're not compatible. They're absolutely separated against one another. God's against him and he's against God. He's against everything righteous because he himself decided that he was going to be above the Most High, and he got kicked out, and him and the third part of the angels. So if God ain't going to tolerate that, do you think he's going to tolerate you and I if we commit sin and walk therein? I don't think so. But I want you to understand, if you read your Bible, you will find the scriptures cannot be broken. You will find that they are there. So when Joel made mention of it there in Joel 2 and 12 there, he said, therefore, he said, if the Lord said, turn you everyone to me with all your heart and with fasting and with weeping and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and a great kindness, and it repenteth him to do evil. Who knows if he will return and repent and have a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, and sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people and sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck at the breast, and the bridegroom go forth of him in assembly, and the bride out of his closet. Let the priest and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give them not thy inheritance to approach, that the heathen are in approach, and the heathen should rule over them. Therefore would they say among the people, where is their God? You see, if he was to allow us to be taken over by the heathen, they would tell us, says, where's your God? There's a lot of people says, where's God? I don't see him. I can't touch him. I can't shake his hand. I can't talk to him. You can talk to him, my friend. God is a spirit. Them that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, God was manifested in the flesh and walked among men better than 2,000 years ago. And even then they denied him, and they seen him. He told them who he was. He expressed the necessity to repent. He told them all, in the scribes and the Pharisees. They were religious people, but religion, my friend, is not going to get you into the kingdom of God. You can wear your long robes and you can do all of your Hail Marys and things like that there, but if you have not repented and had the blood of Jesus applied to your sins, you're still a sinner. And there's no sin going to enter into the kingdom of God. No man in this world, on this earth, is worthy to be called anything a father. Well, we know that the children call their earthly father, father in most cases. But to call somebody a holy father and look to him as being God on earth, that's about the ridiculous thing that I've ever heard tell of. There's only one holy father, and he's in heaven. He came down here to save man from their sins in the flesh. He died in the flesh. But when he arose, he come out of the garden, he was glorified. Out of the tomb, he was glorified. He could appear and disappear. He appeared unto the apostles there behind closed doors. Nicodemus he made mention about being born again, and God spoke to him that he was a leader in the synagogue. But God said, if you don't know the natural things, how are you going to extend spiritual things? When Thomas said, I ain't going to believe, when they told him he had resurrected and they had seen him, I won't believe unless I see him and put my hands in the nail prints. And Jesus appeared unto him when Thomas was there, and he said, Thomas, behold my hands and my feet. Put hither thine hand into my side and faint not. Thomas fell on his face at the floor at his feet and said, my Lord and my God. He said, Thomas, but you believe because thou hast seen. But blessed is he that believeth and has not seen. I believe my God is able. I believe that he is alive and alive forevermore. I believe he will do what he said he will do. And one day he's going to come back and receive that which is and take it home with him into the place that he said he'd gone to prepare. I believe this. I haven't seen him as the apostles did or even that Thomas did, but I believe he's real. I believe that he's real because I know, as Paul said, I know that whom that I have believed. and he is righteous. Glory to God. He satisfies the longing in my soul that I once longed for. He satisfied it with peace and the love of God. Oh, my friends, time won't go in, and I wouldn't care to tell you about my sinful life, but nevertheless, I was a sinner, and I was lost without God. Till I come to the realization of what I needed, the longing that was in my heart, and the thing that I desired was Him and Him alone. It satisfied that longing in my soul, that hunger that I hungered after and thirsted after. When I come to realize what it was, I accepted it, and I don't have that longing no more, but just pressing on toward the mark of the high calling. A desire that one day when I see Him, I shall be like Him, for I shall see Him as He is, according to the Scriptures. My God, but is real, and He's offered us eternal life. But it's up to you and I to accept it. I accepted it. I hope you will. If you're listening to me and you don't know God as your personal Savior, I hope you will find a place to kneel down on your knees. Call upon the Lord with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and be godly sorrow for the sins, and worship Him, and come to know Him as your personal Savior. Let Him come into your life, fill you with His Spirit, and bring you into the place of wherein you can say, Abba, Father. And He said, you're mine, because He purchased you. But if you're mine to go the way of the world, the devil will be glad to accept you. But when you go and turn your life over to God, and you find that ain't what you want, you find that dissatisfaction to you completely, and you don't want Him, you can turn back to the devil. He'll take you back anytime. But let me tell you something. If you really genuine get salvation, my friend, and that longing of your soul just filled with the Spirit of God and His love, and you don't like that, it's something that are desperately wrong with you, because He will change everything for you if you'll only let Him. But it's up to you. That's why I encourage you to read your Word. Read the Bible and find out what God has to say firsthand. You don't have to take the preacher's word for it. But if you believe what God has to say and look to Him, and He will bring you into the ways of truth. Oh, friends, today, believe me, it's a whole lot better to serve Him than it is to fight against Him. I've tried it. I fought against Him for a while, but I found out to go along with Him and accept Him as my Savior. It's not to say that I don't have problems, my friend, because I do, like any man do in this world. Because the devil is out there, and he's gonna try to do everything he can to get you back, to cause you to stumble and fall. But thanks be unto God by His Spirit. He said when the devil comes in with the flood, He said He'd raise a standard up against him. The Spirit of God will rebuke him, as the angel did rebuke the devil over the body of Moses. He said, the Lord rebukes you. My friend, today you can rebuke him and he'll flee from you. Oh, he'll come back later and try you again, but at least wise you'll get a little peace from him. But I want you to know that God is sovereign. And you that worship Him, got to worship Him and Him alone. We cannot serve two masters. I know I hadn't given you a lot of scriptures or read a lot out of the Word, but if the Bible says to study to show yourself approved, right, that dividing the word of truth, that a workman not be ashamed. I'm not ashamed of this gospel. I tell you what God laid on my heart, my friend. There's a lot of preachers that give you a lot of scriptures and everything, and chances are they say it so fast that you don't have time to write it down anyway, and you forget it many times. And they'll stumble around through it and everything. That's why I don't try to do all that, because when you're trying to bring forth what the Lord laid on your heart and you're leading by the Spirit of God, you can do what God tells you to do. It's not I, but it's the Spirit of God in me. Glory. God in me, the one that does it. He said when we're given a stand before Him to give an account, He said, don't worry about it. because it'll be given unto you in the hour that you need it, but it's not you that speaketh, but the Holy Ghost that speaketh for you. So I believe that my heart is right with God, and I believe that the Spirit of God has gave me what to tell you. But it's up to you to receive it. But let me encourage you to read your Bible. You'll find out what I'm telling you is right there. It's there, and you can find it in Joel 2:31, and Acts 2:20, and in Isaiah 13:9. There's the three witnesses right there speaking to you about the things that I've talked to you about today. And I want you to just realize that God is love, and He loved you enough to die for you. Now, if you love Him enough to repent and serve Him, He's going to love you enough to come back. And when He comes back and takes you into the place that He said, I've gone to prepare for you, you'll be there in the presence of God forevermore. And the time has come that when we need to humbly seek God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and body, giving honor and worship and praise unto Him and Him alone, because He is worthy to be praised. And time is running short, and I just praise God for you. Each one of you that have tuned in to us, and those that have emailed us about it encourages us. It brings us to the place that where somebody is listening, and we want to thank you for the response that you have gave to us. And I'm not after riches of this world. I'm after to win a soul for the kingdom of God. If I was after the riches, I'd have went to some of these schools that teach me a prosperity message to talk the gold out of your teeth, you might say, or your wallet, and give it all to me. But I'm not after that, my friend. God meets my needs, and that's all that I need. But He's got a place for me and prepared for me, and that's where I want to go. That's where I want you to go. That's what I'm telling you, that you need to repent if you haven't done so. But if those that have, and God's your King, and the Lord is your Lord, and you have repented, let me encourage you. Keep on keeping on, pressing toward the mark of the high call in Christ Jesus, whereby that you can receive that crown at the end of your days. Father, bless them and keep them. Have them ear to hear and touch their lives and their hearts, that you might bless them and meet their needs, O God, spiritually, physically, and financially. And help them, O Lord, to press on toward the mark of the high call in Christ Jesus. And whatsoever is done in thy holy name, God, we give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Here's my wife. She's got something other for you now. God bless you.
Well, I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this afternoon. I'm honored and blessed that the Lord has laid on my heart something to share with you that goes along with Brother Compton had today. But the day of the Lord is coming. In Acts 17:30-31, it says, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And I just praise God that I can share this with you. This is a command from God not to be lightly regarded. It is a universal, for it includes men everywhere. It is a solemn warning that the day is coming when every person will be judged by his personal relationship to Christ. And the pledge of its fulfillment is the fact of his resurrection, for Christ did not die in vain. Salvation is personal and individual. Jesus did not die to save society, but to save sinners. He was made in the likeness of man, that he might take the place of each one of us upon the cross and bear the penalty of our personal guilt. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. him who? Christ Jesus. The historic fact that Jesus came in accordance with prophecy is proof that he will come again in accordance with prophecy, for both Advents are included in the same prophecy. 7 centuries before Jesus was born, Isaiah prophesied that he would come to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. Isaiah 61:2. Isaiah saw the two Advents in line like distant mountain peaks and could not distinguish the time interval between them. But when Jesus read his divine commission from this prophecy in the synagogue at Nazareth, he stopped with the words, "The acceptable day of the Lord," and closed the book. The day of vengeance awaits his second advent, when the world will be purged by fire. At his second advent, Christ is coming for his own, that they may escape God's judgment on sin, for our God is a consuming fire. The present interval between these two advents is a day of grace in which we live and choose our eternal destiny. His first advent brought salvation to sinners. He's coming again to take out of the world those who in their lifetime obeyed God's command to repent and received his beloved Son as their personal Savior. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. God's promise to believers in every age since Calvary is, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." There can never be world peace because men must first be reconciled to God before they can be reconciled to one another. "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." The world system is essentially evil because Satan is a prince of this world. Therefore, it is written, "If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And if you love the world, you surely don't love Jesus Christ. That's 1 John 2:15. Christ is the Prince of Peace. We are reconciled to God through the blood of the cross that covers our sin. Salvation in Christ does not come by mental assent to his teaching or acceptance of a creed, or by raising your hands and repeat a so-called sinner's prayer after somebody else. You have to repent yourself, but it's by a personal experience of his indwelling presence, which is the Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God," and that's John 3:3. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new." We are born into this world individually, one by one. We are likewise reborn spiritually, one by one. It is a transforming experience whereby we go to Calvary with our Lord and henceforth see life from the standpoint of the cross. In his final prayer in the garden on the night of his betrayal, Jesus said in John 17:9, "I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are mine." Christ is the hope of the world in this age of grace. While he tarries and the Comforter abides, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. And that name is Jesus. When God commands and the appointed day is sure, in which all will be judged by their relationship to Christ The question of supreme importance for each of us is, will I be found on the victory side of the cross when Christ returns for his own? And at the end of everything I read, I see, repent, for the day of the Lord is at hand. Today is a day of salvation. Tomorrow, maybe too late. And you would like to write to us, request anything, or if you have something you would like to share, you can email it at ecompton31@yahoo.com. You can write to us at Take Time for Jesus, Post Office Box 17272, Tampa, Florida, 33682. If you live in the Tampa Bay area and you would like to go to church on Saturday and Sunday night at 7:30 instead of staying home and watching TV or going to the movies or whatever, where the Word of God is preached and there's no junky music or anything like that, we love the Lord, and we're not Seventh-day Adventists, but we all gather together as a family. And if you will email us at ecompton31@yahoo.com, we will give you the address of where you can come and join us on Saturday and Sunday night for Holy Ghost fellowship. May God bless you.
Praise the Lord, yes. Take time for Jesus during this time, because he's the only one that took time for you on Calvary's cross. Till next time, may God richly bless you and keep you, is a prayer that we give to him on your behalf, that we may gather together unto him when he returns and meet him in there. God bless you.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first chains are gone, I've been set free, my God, my Savior.